Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award nominated podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Super good. How are you?
Mark, you feel quiet today.
Mark's
We've been
on
for 5 seconds. How do I feel quiet today?
There's an energy about you that seems quiet.
Tanya and I were here early this morning, so we're tired.
Yeah, it's been a day.
Been a doozy.
We're recording this on Friday, and LA is on fire. And that requires a lot of different kind of morning show behavior. So it was a little bit of a crazy morning today.
Yeah. So so Mark's just had a morning.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like sans sleep. Like just no sleep.
You had a wild night.
I had a nap last night, essentially.
It makes me, I get so nauseous when I get that little sleep. So I do commend you for your work.
And there's no like coming back from it really, because I'm going straight to stuff all day today, and then I have your dinner tonight. So, like, I'm going to be like this all day. So, woohoo!
I'm going to get you liquored up tonight, and it'll be a good time.
It's going to be, the wheels are going to come off tonight.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Sounds dangerous.
Choo choo, baby.
Wait, are you a train or?
Yep,
train. Choo-choo. Wheels are all, okay. Mm-hmm. Don't know how that works, but we had the best time last night.
Yeah, we did.
Before your rager, we had an in-store event at the Macy's in South Coast Plaza. And let me just tell you,
I know
nothing stresses me out more than something with a meet and greet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have been to meet and greets for myself where I think like 20 people, not even 20, 10 people showed up and I'm like, hey, like whoever booked this.
So that's the stress, is anybody going to bother showing up for this
thing?
Is anyone
going to come? And right. So Tanya was like moderating and like hosting the little Q&A. And so I walked in really just thinking this, I have no idea what it's going to be like. You know, I knew there would be some of the scrubbers there. So I was at least thinking like maybe 5 to 7 would be in the audience.
Yeah, like the
core. Didn't you give the wrong day on last week's podcast?
Yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah, so that hurts
but
it a little
bit. But I confirmed. I like posted in the scrubbing in group and on my story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I felt like I fix that, I hope. So we walk out, and it is like a huge crowd.
Huge crowd.
People were standing
and
behind.
I think they were 90% scrubbers.
Wow.
Maybe
we got letters. Yeah. We got
wedding invitations for all of us.
Yeah.
It's next April.
I do want to try to go to that.
Yeah.
Because it's local, right?
Yeah. Well, Fullerton?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a great, but so we did the Q&A talking about my line with Bar 3 and Macy's, and then we did a little meet and greet, and it was so awesome. Like all the girls were just so sweet. I got tons of hugs.
It's really crazy because you don't realize like there are so many girls that we met last night. And I feel so wildly connected to them. So like one girl came up and she was sharing a story. She happened to know Moy, who we talked about on the last podcast. And so we had like a special moment. And there was another girl who came up and basically she said that her dad was diagnosed with cancer a few weeks ago. And she met somebody in the scrubbing and Facebook group that also... her father was diagnosed with cancer at the same time. So they just literally met through our Facebook group and have been there for each other through this process of having their, and their prognoses are really good. So it's all really good and positive, but it's still something really difficult to go through.
Yeah, of course.
And they found each other through the podcast.
Yeah.
And it's just hearing all of these stories, like every girl had a story for us about how they met their friends. There was a group of like 15 of them that met through the podcast. And it's just like so wild to see it in real life.
Talk about the girl who confided in you that she didn't have the courage and she got it from you.
Yeah. So this other, she was a tall, remember there was two of them. There were like two friends and they came up to us. So her friend was talking to you.
Yeah, I remember.
And then the other one was like kind of whispering in my ear and I got really emotional about it because she basically said, she's never had the confidence to say that she didn't want to have sex until she was like ready. And that listening to the podcast and like hearing me and my stance on it, she said that it made her vocal about that in her relationship now. And she hasn't. And she's like, I would have never. And she's like, I'm so happy and I feel so good. And I never would have had the courage to do that had I not like heard you stepping out like that.
Was there a specific, like just you saying that you have this philosophy in your life now is what inspired her, or was there a specific moment?
I don't know. She didn't say specific moment. I guess probably just that.
That's amazing. I mean, that's changing the world stuff, really.
I mean, yeah, that's you've a changed big her whole moment. Life.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I got emotional. I like almost started crying, and then they were like, "You need to take your photo," and I was like, I need a minute.
So it was like they were like moving it quick. So the thing with it, we both always like chat for a long time with everyone. Like
Beck and I would have probably been there for 100 hours if they didn't keep it moving. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, but it's just like sometimes you want to hear more and say more.
Yeah.
And it was like it was like, all right, picture. And so, you know, like then it was like we wanted to connect, and it was the time frame we had, so it was fine. But
yeah,
you know, it was hard because Tanya would be like, "But wait!" And like in the middle of the photo, she's like talking,
totally talking. I mean, there's people who like it's so wild. It's so wild.
It's just cool to know, like doing something like that, that people are gonna show up. Like they're so supportive, and like I feel like they're there, like not only for us but for each other. Like it's just really, it's a really cool community. I can't say it enough. Like, I'm the most proud of this podcast because of our listeners.
For sure.
So it was really cool. It was
like empower each other.
Yes.
It's like the cool, like it's just.
That's what the Facebook group is listeners of the show empowering each other.
Literally.
Allie wasn't able to go, and she was like, I'm so sad. I miss seeing the scrubbers.
It's
she was
true.
Like, they make me feel so good.
Yeah. Like they really like, it's like, it's fuel almost. Like they like fuel each other. They fuel us. Yeah. Like. It's really, there's another girl that came up and said that she's like, I've been listening to you on the radio for 10 years. And I was like,
wow,
me? And then she was like, well, maybe not 10 years. And it feels like 10 years. And because she was like, I remember when you were in the back room and like, I know.
So
and I was
it's
like,
been eight.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm going to cry.
Yeah. It's really cool. And then we did a $500 shopping spree giveaway. And there was literally a box full, like of tons of pieces of paper. Guess whose name I pulled?
Guess whose name she pulls?
Crystal, who
Crystal
runs
Aluzada?
Our
yes! Oh my gosh.
Who runs our social, our Instagram and our Twitter, and does like so much for the podcast. Yeah. So, and of course she's like the sweetest. She's like, I'll share it. She's
sweet. The sweetest.
But it was crazy out of
That's
all the
crazy.
People.
I know, this box was like big. I was like, the fact that you picked her name out was kind of bizarre.
I know. It was like wow. Wild. So it was really fun. Thank you to everyone who was able to come. I know a lot of people on the Facebook group were like, dude, you know, come to this city or whatever.
Oh, no,
we're
now
trying.
Now I'm fueled up to do Atlanta. So when I go to Atlanta, because now there's a Facebook, a Scrubbing in Atlanta group.
There's a separate Facebook page for Scrubbing
yes,
in Atlanta?
And there's a separate one for the Los Angeles Scrubbers,
oh
too. There's 500 in the Los Angeles one.
Wow.
I think it makes it easy for people to say, like, hey, I live in LA. I listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I need friends.
So I found out that there's an Atlanta one with, like, a pretty girthy number. And I'm like, why doesn't Becca come out for the weekend and we can, like, do a meetup?
I don't know why you're acting like you're begging me. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
Okay, let's book a ticket.
That's going to be an issue for you. There's too many people that want you to come to Atlanta because you have that Scrubbing in group. And literally every morning people call KISS and say, I'm in Atlanta. I want to see you guys when you come out. Every single day.
That's so funny.
Tanya's like yes to everyone, and then she gets there and there's like not enough
no time.
Minutes or seconds in the day. But she's a giver.
Yeah.
She is.
If anything.
What?
I was going to make like a dirty joke and then I was like, that's not funny.
It would have been funny.
I think it would have been funny.
Oh, really?
Oh, you want to try it again? It's just Becca says she's a giver.
Well, Tanya's a giver.
Yep.
I'm a giver. Takes one to know one.
That was it? That's dirty?
Like, get it? Like,
but you're saying
I'm a giver.
All
I'm
you're
a
saying
giver.
Is that Becca's also a giver.
Yeah.
So it takes a giver to know a giver. There's nothing dirty about that in our minds.
Oh, so my mind just went to the dirty place.
I think it might have.
Yeah. I'm just a giver.
I still don't get it.
That is so bad. I was expecting something way more entertaining than that.
Just a giver, you know? Just giving it.
Oh, okay. Let's move on.
Okay.
How's the voting going for the Scrubbing NPCA nomination?
I've actually been doing a great job.
I'm pleased.
Yeah.
How have you been voting, Mark?
I haven't. Sans.
Oh, my God.
Well, I feel a little weird because Wind Down's also nominated, and I love Scrubbing in, but it's a little bit weird to vote for one over the other. It's a conflict of interests.
So you just go no votes?
Exactly.
That's
I remain neutral.
That is what is wrong with America. Like exactly what you just said is what's wrong with our country.
Why don't you do 10 for Jana and then 10 for 15 for Scrubby?
Because they would just cancel each other out anyway.
No, we'd get the extra 5.
Yeah.
But then I'd have to tell Jana I had an extra 5 for Tanya and Becca and she'd be mad at me. I love Jana and Mike. Love you guys.
I love Jana. I've thrown them all a vote. I threw every podcast on there a vote, except for one, I think.
Wait, you voted for the unlucky one?
Well, because I voted for the ones that were all women, and then I voted for the ones that I listened to. I think
you're not going to win.
There's only one I don't listen to.
I don't think
to.
You're going
to
win.
Why?
Because that's not how you win, by voting for other podcasts.
Just once. She's I gave them 25. Yeah, I'm just a giver. This is me giving.
Wow.
That was good. But we should mention our party.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're having a party on Thursday at the Lobster in Santa Monica. We're going to take cute photos, cute food, cute voting.
Did people, it's like the first 30 that RSVP via the email?
You have to email, but then Tori will get back to you and then you have to confirm. So just sending the email isn't going to do it because some people are sending that email, but they're not confirming. So we need everyone to confirm with Tori. They're for sure coming. So there's still opportunity. Scrubbing in at iHeartMedia.com if you want to be at the Lobster on Thursday.
Yeah. And you know what would be awesome is if you sent that email in with maybe like a list of a bunch of emails that you could bring to the party.
So anyways, send the email and then confirm when Tori responds so that you know that you're on there because there's limited spots.
Right, and I'm concerned people might show up thinking they're getting in and they're not going to get in because they never responded.
You
got to confirm.
Confirm.
25, so it's almost full.
We're confirmed at 25? Oh, wow. Okay, so 5 spots left. Get your spot.
But maybe we can overbook because sometimes people don't like show up and stuff.
You guys,
what
I am? There are articles about me like having some thoughts on Miley Cyrus from last week's podcast.
Well, you did have some thoughts,
but I didn't. I literally said all I was saying is you were saying if she gets attention or you know if people make comments about it, and I was just saying as long as she's being public.
Why is everybody giggling?
Yeah, I see the Cosmo article. Now. Oh. Caitlin some Carter's thoughts. Friend Becca Tilly had some thoughts.
Yeah, the thoughts. Who wrote that? What's the name?
Okay, I'll find out. This was written by Mahara Bonner.
Mahara Bonner. Why did you capitalize thoughts?
Thoughts on Miley Cyrus being so public with Cody Simpson.
I was just implying like people are gonna have comments when you're public with something, and now I feel like I have a feud with Miley. I hate controversy and I don't want to be in a feud with someone.
Are the Smilers coming after you?
Yeah, someone wrote me and was like, Miley can be in a relationship with whoever she wants, you hypocrite.
People are so aggressive.
And to be honest, like, I like spoke too soon because I got defensive over, you know, Caitlin being my friend. And then I like didn't know how to retract. But I was just basically saying, if you're public with anything, people are going to have opinions. And that means I have some thoughts.
Well, my first reaction is thank you, Mahara, for plugging the podcast and linking in the article.
Oh, Mahara, as a thank hyperlink. You. I just had a question about the thoughts being
capital. You click
it,
you go right to the episode. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
But I also feel bad for these people who have to write these articles. So they must just listen to podcasts and just like, oh, she said something. Let me see if I can make a whole article out of that one sentence she just said.
Yeah. I did an interview about my whole Macy's line. Mm-hmm. And one of the, I think it was Us Weekly, said, Becca is happy in her relationship, but staying private. That was the headline. And I was like, I said 2 sentences about my relationship that I don't talk about. But I have a freaking clothing line at Macy's. It's just clickbait. We do it too.
It's clickbait, but yeah, I'd much more hear about somebody's relationship than the clothing line.
Mark!
Personally, I'm part of the problem, perhaps, you know.
I know. It's the same thing we do for the podcast when we do swipe ups, but when it's about you, it's different, okay? Mm-hmm.
I gotta
when it's your feud with Miley, it's different. I'm just kidding. I literally don't care who Miley dates.
No, we should say it's a feud with Miley. Then maybe we can get her on here and you guys can bury the hatchet. It'll be a whole thing.
Oh, I love Miley.
I do too.
Oh, I love her. I can't get over it right now.
You know, Miley's a person.
I really do.
People will say to me, they'll ask me, like when I go back to Wisconsin, they'll ask me about celebrities, you know, and I might mention Miley Cyrus. They might be like, oh, Miley is Cyrus. You know, they all think that she's, you know, known for like the VMAs and she's half naked with a tongue out and all this stuff. And I always tell them a story when we did the Ryan Seacrest show from Children's Hospital of Orange County in the Seacrest studio. And she came down and she was a guest. She was great on the show. And we brought in a patient and it was really nice. And then we were done and we got a tour and Ryan had gone. And it was maybe 2 hours later when I came back to the studio to get all my stuff. And I saw Miley still 2 hours later going room to room saying hi to as many kids as she possibly could. Yeah. And I always tell people that because you're wrong about Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. No, I know. I really feel the same way. I like her too. And Tish Cyrus is a friend of the show.
She is, yes.
Yeah, she's a friend. So we just really just the whole Cyri family.
Well, I have a really great story about Miley Cyrus beyond today's topics. So my youngest sister Hannah was like a diehard Hannah Montana fan, like obsessed. This is probably one of the more evil things I've done in my life, but it's funny now. So I create an email, MileyC123@yahoo.com. And I email my sister, who's probably like, I don't know, like 8 or 9 at the time. And I'm like, hi, Hannah. I heard you're a huge fan of the show. I just wanted to reach out and say hello and hope you're having the best day. And then I'd sign off with like, you get the best of both worlds. Like, you know, something like that.
Oh, you get the best. Yeah.
So I'd like my tagline would be like a lyric from Hannah Montana. So she would respond and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, like, how'd you find me? And like, here's a picture of my family. And like, this is bad. So then the older sister, Caroline, the younger one, she always played it cool. Like she would like make fun of Hannah for being such a big Hannah Montana fan. She gets a hold of the email of writing an email to Miley C. And she's like, my sister loves you, but I love you more. Like, I'm the biggest fan.
Tries to intercept.
Tries to, like, get in on it. So I never tell them that it's me until years later, I admit. And they were both just like...
That is evil.
It is.
That is, like, evil spawn all over you. What in the world?
I was gonna...
Didn't you feel terrible when you got the email back with the picture of the family? I would have felt terrible.
You know, I'm kind of emotionally void. So I was just like, cool, working. It's working well.
That is so weird. That just goes to show you another thing that we're so opposite with.
See, Tanya and I are cancers. We don't.
I would have done
pranksters like that.
We're not.
That is
we feel
I might
too
create
bad.
A Jonas Brothers email and send it to Tanya and be like, I'd love to come on the podcast. Chicks in the Office
Nikki
got
C,
Jonas
one,
Brothers.
Two, three.
Chicks in the Office got
Nikki
Jonas
G,
Brothers
one, two,
on their podcast for their 100th episode.
That, yeah.
They did. But we love, I'm obsessed with Chicks in the Office. I love them.
Yeah.
Fran said something nice and I'll forever love her.
Yeah, we love the chicks that are in the office.
I wrote her this like long DM and I was like, I know you just said like two, like it was really two sentences, but I was like, just having an all women podcast say something like that means a lot to me. And so I just wrote her like a really long thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so nice. She posted about my Macy's collab and bought clothes. So
love them.
Hey, Mark Wahlberg's here.
We love Mark Wahlberg.
Didn't you run into him like in the wild?
In the wild. And it was the craziest thing. But the best part is like, he like literally drives past me as I'm holding hands with Dr. Screen Time at the time. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, how do you know that guy? It's like, and then I had to explain the whole thing about quitting and then how I met him the next day. And it was like a whole thing.
I love
it. Was a lot of dinner conversation.
All you could have said to Dr. Screen Time was like, oh, we did a podcast with him. But instead, you go into the relationship advice and he gave.
I did.
Exactly.
I did. I went all
in. I did not know
He's a game show host. We had him on our show. That's all you had to say.
Oh, no, no, no.
Dr. Screen Time. That's probably why Dr. Screen Time was like on high alert.
No, let me tell you, it was already going downhill by that point.
Oh, that was early on, too, in his visit. Love Mark Wahlberg. I just cannot believe, I'm so thrilled that Temptation Island's back on TV, so I'm excited to talk to him about that.
Same.
He's next.
What we would call a dear friend at this point in the studio today. We have Mark Wahlberg back again. the Mark Wahlberg.
Well, a Mark Wahlberg.
A Mark Wahlberg.
I always have to clarify that.
We call
that.
You the Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
Thank you. And I appreciate the status of dear friend because I feel the same way.
Yeah. So, well, if you guys, because actually some people are just new listeners. Some people are actually binging the podcast from the beginning, which I'm enjoying people's messages about that. But we did an episode, a podcast in Hawaii a few months ago while you were filming this season.
Right. At the very beginning of taping the season that's on the air as of last night.
Of Temptation Island. We didn't say what he was filming.
Correct.
We just assume.
We just assume you know.
Everybody's got their finger on the pulse of everything I'm doing.
But that was the episode we also played at Truth or Drink. And we had, between you being on our Truth or Drink, it was a big episode.
It was a big episode.
Well, all I know is that we went to this pineapple place before that, and they had a distillery, and I took several shots. And by the time I got to you, I have no idea what was on that podcast. So anything I said was under influence.
Well, you're very wise under influence because you gave some great advice to Tanya.
Yeah.
Alcohol is a truth serum, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. That was some good advice.
Well, thank you. I hope it, excuse me, my advice is choking my throat now. I hope it worked out. I don't think you need advice. I think you're a diamond in the rough. So
that is so kind. But do you want to know the craziest? Actually, this is so crazy.
What?
So you gave me this. We had this epiphany moment in Hawaii.
We really did.
Okay. And it's like all clicking in my head. I'm like, Mark Wahlberg is a genius. Like, this is so great. I just quit. I quit looking. I quit men. Like, I'm quitting it all.
It was funny because it's stuff I've been saying for a while now, but you said it in a way that really resonated with her.
Yeah, well, my kids can't hear me say stuff. They hear it from somebody else if I say the same thing.
Right, and I think your alignment to having it, like you're with your career and you're talking about money. I was
For me, that was what my thing was. Yeah. Yours was in the love, but it all works, I think.
So I think for some reason that made it click, but then what happened? Get back from Hawaii. Yes. Beck and I are like, I actually probably looked the way I look right now, like just real rough and like come out of a plane and just not feeling good, and I had to get here really early that day, and I'm like wearing my workout clothes, and guess what?
You met a boy.
I met a guy.
What did I tell you?
I know. It was like truly the next day.
I know.
It's about making the space for something new to happen. If the space is cluttered with I want, I wish, I hope, I resent, all that stuff, it fills up the space where something new could come in.
Yeah.
So when you say I quit, I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to let God provide, and I'm not going to worry about doing my hair, I'm just going to be me, then he shows up. Are we still dating him?
No.
Well, that's the next level.
Yeah. But actually, this is the cooler part of the story is that he came to visit. So he was from out of town. He came to visit and he was staying with me. And we were going to dinner one night on like somewhere where we like always go. And we're holding hands. And who comes beep bopping down Ventura Boulevard with his whole family?
That would be me. I like to check up on the people that I've given advice to. So I've been standing at that corner for months.
I actually took it as a sign as like Mark Wahlberg told me to quit. And I didn't quit. Yeah. I didn't quit. And I need to quit this. Literally that next day, it was done.
Well, I drove by and I'm like, oh, he's cute. This is working.
Yeah. He was cute, but...
yelled at you like a strange stalker.
Oh, it was so awesome.
Which one was that guy? What was the nickname
screen
for that
time.
Guy?
Screen Time.
That was Dr. Screen Time. Okay.
Screen Time?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
It was really crazy. So I really do feel like you're part of like our story now.
Well, I'm happy to be part of your story. I'm fans of you guys, man.
I know. We had the best time with you. we were hanging out with his daughter Goldie and his wife, and we just had the best time. Felt like family.
I was like saying, hey, I'm the host of the show. It's supposed to be about me right now. Can you lay off my daughter and my wife, who both send their love?
Oh, we love them. You're the host of one of my maybe all-time favorite TV. I am so invested because I binge watched the whole first season.
Right.
So I sat on my couch for however many hours that was, watched the whole season. Then I got to go to Hawaii and see it like happening.
Yeah.
And now it's back on again.
It's back on Temptation Island. Yeah.
But now I don't get to binge it. I have to wait.
You're going to have to wait a little bit. It's out, so you can watch it. And there's a casting special as well on usanetwork.com if you want to see how we selected the people for this year. But it's going to be just crazy.
I don't think you can get crazier than the first season.
No, the preview for this season is insane.
I'll just say that we started taping and like 2 days in, I kind of heard what was going on and I'm like, where do we go from here? This is too much too quick. And I was angry about it. I'm like, everybody's like out of the box, I'm like, everybody has got to slow their roll. We've got 12 episodes to do here. Yeah.
So,
and
I,
then it changes. And then, like, people kind of redirect themselves a little bit, and it becomes this, like, story of empowerment by the end. The women, it becomes like this anthem. The women find their power. I'm really proud of them. I don't know how long it lasted. Sort of like the advice I gave you. I don't know if there's a shelf life. But, yeah, man, it's a good season. I think it's a good season.
It's such good TV.
I'll be honest. When I had first met you, yes. I didn't watch the first season. I hadn't seen the first season. And I'm not the biggest fan of, like, I don't watch a ton. I watch, like, The Bachelor, but I don't watch a ton of, like,
reality
yeah. shows.
Yeah.
I binged the first season when we came back from Hawaii because I just felt really invested in you.
Thank you.
I was obsessed with it. There's something, like, it's not.
Well, here's the thing, I think. It looks like a dating show.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, are you the one? X on the Beach, Bachelor in Paradise has kind of got all that vibe. And you're like, oh, they're just going to hook up. And it's like, whatever. But it becomes, because you got to remember, there's no prize. They're not competing for anything.
Right. Uh-huh.
And they think probably it's going to be this crazy dating show. And then it becomes this really deep and introspective sort of like what we were talking about. You got to look at what has been the problem in relationships. I constantly say to them, look, I know that you're here focusing on your significant other on the other side of the island. Like what's mm-hmm. there? Like what are they doing? Mm-hmm. But you can't control that. So all you can do is look at who are you being and how are you in this and how do you repeat behavior and
can
same
stuff.
Can I
tell
stuff
you what I think? What I think what really triggered me was, what was the girl's name from the first season?
Casey.
Okay.
Who I saw last night, by the way.
So when I was watching it, I feel like I saw a little bit of old Tanya in her. Like the girl that was like, we've been dating for this many years and I want the ring and I want this. Like all the stuff that really doesn't matter.
And I say this to them on the air. I've said it in interviews. I'm like, so often I hear people say, you know, if they don't give me a ring by this time, I'm out.
Yeah.
But no one plays that out. So what if they do give you the ring? Mm-hmm. Like you demanded it. And so they acquiesce and give you the ring. That's not the proposal you mm-hmm. want. You want the proposal of the guy who, when you say, I don't want to get married, begs you to spend mm-hmm. the rest of your life with you.
Yeah.
So I'm like saying, guys, you gotta slow your roll mm-hmm. and get your life right about what it. I'm constantly saying to them, "What is happiness? What is love? Mm-hmm. Like, what does a love relationship look like to you? Because mm-hmm. that's really what to look at. Because what you thought it looked like—the ring by this time, the house by this time, uh-huh. the kids by this time—that's not how life goes.
Yeah,
I'm still trying.
I remember I was like texting you, and I was like, I feel like I used. There was a part of mm-hmm. me that used to be like her, and it, like everything she said, I would like. I'd get so emotional about it because I'm like, I feel so sad that she's in that headspace.
But mm-hmm. I'll tell you something. I saw her last night and I follow everybody on all the social media and she looks great. I don't know if she's got a man in her life, but she's killing it in the business world and seems empowered and strong. And, you know, I constantly tell people it's not a ride I would suggest to anyone that I love to go on.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, maybe get a therapist and keep it quiet. But for the people that go, I have yet to see somebody say it's ruined their life. It's usually I've discovered stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
Well, yeah, in some capacity, whether it's like painful at the time, you look back and go like, wow. I mean, Casey's probably a totally different person. She, in a good way.
In a good way, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and I said it to her on the show when Evan last season was like, I don't want to be with you. And I found somebody else. And it was really devastating for her at the time. She says now that she was in shock. And I remember her saying, you know, but I've changed. I've learned. I'm different. Mm-hmm. And I said to her then, and I know it was tough love, and I felt terrible saying it to her, but I said, you know, sometimes we learn lessons we take to our next relationship, which nobody really wants to hear.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how it goes, man. I had my heart broken years ago, and then I'm like, you know, I'm never going to fall in love again. And then I met my wife, and who I was at that point because of the drama
heartbreak.
And the heartbreak, I was a different dude. The definition of being in love changes and gets deeper.
How old were you when you fell in like this deep love? How long have you been married?
I've been married 32 years. 32 years, that's crazy.
But you were dating for how long?
Her? My wife? I mean, I should probably use her name, Robbie. we dated, I don't know, man. We dated maybe a year. She knows exactly to the hour. I think it was like a year and a half or 2 years before we got married. Or engaged. I'm trying to remember. So we've been together, but you know, getting on 35 or something like that.
But like, at what age were you as a man?
I got married 2 weeks before my 25th birthday.
Oh,
but
wow.
I moved out of my house and was living on my own at 18. So by the time I got to 24, I was like the modern day 30.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I was kind of like, I dated. It was a different time. You did whatever you wanted. There wasn't a lot to worry about.
Right.
And, you know, I met her with no intention. For a long time, I used to work in this restaurant, right? And we did shows. We were singing and dancing. It's a long story, and I prefer not to get into it. But every night, I would wait by the door as the audience was going and say, is she here tonight? Is my girl here tonight? And then just like you, at one point, I'm like, I'm not looking anymore. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not even trying that. And that's when she showed up.
Wow.
And she was in the audience. And I'm like, I think I got to have that one.
Wow.
And I was adorable, so I got her.
Did you pursue her hard?
Actually?
No, this is good. You're married and you've been married for 30 plus years,
yeah.
Which is awesome. And you're amazing. And we've met your wife and we love and you have a great family. So I think it's interesting to hear how all of this develops.
So she comes into the restaurant. She was hot. I remember what she was wearing. Really tight black jeans and boots. And actually, the first time I saw her was walking to the bathroom. I only saw the back of her, and that was plenty. I didn't need any more than that. And by the way, 35 years later, all that's still intact. So that's good. But, you know, it was like, at the end, we kind of flirted, and I knew something was going on, and, you know, it was all good. But, you know, this was every night. There was an audience coming in, and I was pretty much, you know, still a kid. And I got her number. And I put it in the apron because I was a waiter, and I lost the number. And I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. You know, she was hot, and I would have liked to, you know, hooked up, but oh, well. And then she says that she thought with our connection that I was going to show up like on a white horse, like Pretty Woman, and just, you know, climb up her fire escape. And she says to her uncle, who's the one who brought her to the restaurant, you know, he didn't call. And he said, look, I always tell you not to call boys, but this one you need to call. So she called me, and I'm like, oh, thank God I lost your number. And so we got together for lunch, and I'm like, this girl's crazy. I can't date her, but I can't not date her. I mean, she's nuts, but I kind of like that kind of crazy, which is another thing I say on the show. I was like, you're not going to find somebody sane. You're just going to find the kind of crazy you dig.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right? I always tell Tanya her guy's going to love her crazy, or what we consider her crazy. He's going to be like,
crazy.
He's going to be like, that's my favorite thing about you.
On the show this season, one of the girls, Sonic, is really scared to kind of let her passion out, right?
Wait, which one?
Sonic, Asonica.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's dating Gavin.
Yeah.
And at the bonfire, we're talking about it. She's like, you know, if I really let go, I'm a hurricane. And I said, well, you know, sometimes you need to let the hurricane blow. And whatever guy's still standing after the hurricane comes, that's your dude. Right? I said, I married a hurricane. It's blowing all day, every day, but that's my flavor, right? I'm not scared of that. If you're in love, falling in love is so much more of a, you know, that's where I think young people kind of get trapped, is that you've got a checklist of what you want it to look like. And sometimes love doesn't look like that at all. And you can't figure out why, you know, you're still connected, even though that wasn't what you had said was on your list. And that's the thing you got to tap into, is the organic part that's not particularly linear. That's why you can't seem to stay away from one another. Now, there's the bad side of that, which is the bad boy who's just, you know, it's hot and dysfunctional, but it's hot. But there's a whole other story why that happens.
Right.
We don't have time for it. But next podcast, I'll break that down. But yeah, man, it's I just tell them, I'm like, any preconceived notions you had is why you're here. We repeat behavior. You're here because your preconceived notions haven't gotten you much further than you are now. So I think this is a reset for a lot of people. They end up having to discover who they are, and in that, it defines love in a different context. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting because we got to meet the cast before filming started, and I was talking to Kate, and her boyfriend's David, and she was so, like, having this moment of, like, what? Yeah. Why am I here? Like, what have I done? You know,
her story is going to be really interesting for people to watch.
Yeah.
Because she's a frail, broken, scared, weepy girl at the beginning. And her final bonfire, hers and Ashley H., the other one, well, all of them actually, the final bonfires are probably the most riveting TV I've been a part of in my 30 years on TV.
No way.
So insane.
So excited.
Yeah, it's good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I'm like so upset because I'm like, I just want to sit. I'm almost like, do I just not watch until it's all there for me to just binge? Because I don't know that I
kind of think it's better to watch it like that too. Just like,
it really
like
is.
Reading a novel.
Yeah.
You know, all the way through.
You can't put it down.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of these couples, there's this sense of like this insecurity and I mean, it's something that we all experience, yeah. But then they go on to show like this where it's like, Your insecurities are like totally exposed.
And that's another thing about the show that makes it different, as we were talking about earlier, about the difference between other dating shows, mm-hmm. is that, you know, in the front door, what it looks like is you're going to be in this house with all these single dudes. Let's go from the girl's perspective. And you're going to get to date them and maybe you'll fall in love. But what you don't anticipate is that friendships and relationships form with the opposite sex that are all flavors, and they inform you. So for a lot of women, they don't have like a dude who's not interested in them, you know, sexually or romantically, yeah. that's there to say, hey man, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that information really matters. So I'm constantly saying, like I said to Kate, I said to all of them, I'm like, what do you want? Mm-hmm. When was the last time you stood for not who do I need to be to keep my man?
Yeah.
But what the hell do you want?
Yeah.
And then trust that somebody's going to fill those shoes, as opposed to I've got to change for him or I'm not going to catch one.
Yeah.
And catching a man is where you guys F up a lot.
I know. That's like the biggest thing, mm-hmm. I think I've realized with myself. For I think up until like I've been single for a really long time now, but before this, I was always in a relationship and in long-term relationships. And in my last long-term relationship, I felt like I had lost a complete sense of like, I didn't know what I liked to do for fun. I stopped hanging out with my friends.
This is such a common story, by the way.
Yeah. Like his world became my world, not on any, like he didn't impose it on me, but it was just my willingness to bend what I wanted, and then it just kind of I morphed into it.
And you forget, what does Tanya want?
Exactly.
So girls tell me, or women tell me, look, you know, I'm dating this guy, it's going really great, and it's all good, and I'm waiting to be the real me until I know that he's into me. So I'm going to the sports bar, and I'm doing all the stuff mm-hmm. he wants to do until I feel confident enough to say I'm not down, right? Or I want to do this. And I was saying to these girls, I'm like, don't be afraid to, you know, write a script, which is the dream.
Yeah.
And then let somebody fill it, because you're worth it. You're a diamond, Tanya. I mean, come on.
You're so sweet. But it's like, I feel like now, because I do have all these weird things about me that I get, you know, it's like, when do I tell him that I have a Dear Future Husband journal? It's like, that's just a part of me. And like, if that's going to scare him, then like, who cares? Then like, bye.
Yeah, but, you know, my wife told me she made a list, a specific list that covered physical, emotional, hobbies, everything, eye color, clothing of what her dude is. And I checked a lot of the boxes, so it worked out pretty good.
Wow.
Not all of them, by the way.
But yeah.
Later, she got me to check the other boxes because I'm the one who changed for her. Actually, we morphed together, I think. Aww. I think that's really what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's a compromise.
You're supposed to grow. That's the thing. If you're changing yourself for someone else, that's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if the person you're with supports who you are and is willing to ride out your growth, mm-hmm. in other words, let you change and still be there, that's the good stuff. I mean, that's why we marry, is because it's too hard to go through this by ourselves.
I know. And I think that's the scariest part when these relationships end, is because you've done all these, you've changed all these other mm-hmm. things that are normal in your life.
Right.
And then when it's over,
yeah.
and then you're left with like all the pieces, and then
I told these men and women, you've been identifying as a we.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are Gavin and Sonic. We are David and Kate. But you forgot who David is.
Mm-hmm.
And you forgot who Kate is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's not that you didn't forget. You probably haven't met that person yet.
Mm-hmm.
And finding out who that individual is doesn't mean you're killing the couple. It just means it's got to evolve.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a scary thing to jump into. You know, it's scary to stand in your own 2 feet and say, I'm pretty great. That's a scary thing.
It is.
But if you do it, when you do it, that's the thing that people love.
I noticed this year versus the last season, when the women went into the house with the single guys, they were so standoffish. Like, no one really, they were all like, I can't do this. But this season, the girls kind of went in and were ready to go.
That's what I was talking about. I'm like, everybody's got to slow their roll.
Yeah.
I became like the dad. I really want to sit people down and say, now listen, that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
But, you know, then I had to check myself. I actually apologized to one of the cast members at the bonfire. I'm like, I was too quick to judge you. You know, you took action right off the bat that I thought was completely inauthentic to what you're telling me,
uh-huh.
But now I see that you had to do what you had to do, and there's more story there that I'm unaware of. There's pain there and revenge, and you've got, you know, some feelings, and so you acted out of those feelings, and now you're resetting that, and that's your process. So mm-hmm. I apologize to her.
I have a question, too. So when they go on, is it like they've had conversations, and it's like, I'm aware that you might kiss someone or like, what are the, well, do they set standards? Right. Cause like
that to me is the funniest part. So they all talk about the rules they set before they came in. All right. So we can hang out and we can have drinks, but there's no kissing, or there's kissing, but there's no touching, or there's touching, but you can't spend the night. And then all that just goes right out the window immediately.
The trailer looks like every single person is doing something with someone that's not their significant other at the beginning.
Well, first of all, that's a lot of what the show's about, too, is that we show these clips of the bonfire.
Right.
And what you see in a clip, we immediately project on that to be more meaningful than it may or may not be. And right. I'm constantly telling them, it could be everything you're afraid of, but it also could be in the guise of a drinking game. You don't know.
Right, right.
And that's not even it. And I tell them, it's not the facts of what happened. It's how you feel about what happens is all you get to look at. You can't change them.
It's brutal.
It's not about what's happening. It's how you feel about what's happening.
Right.
That is a nugget.
It's a huge nugget. And if you see people on the show, you'll see a clip. We'll all watch it together. America will watch the clip. And we're like, well, that was nothing. And then, like last season, Shari sees a clip of Javen. We all go, nothing happened. He's just talking. And she's like, I'm breaking up. It's over. We're like, what? I said to her, what did you see? I didn't see anything. Yeah. But we project how we're feeling on the other people. We just project all over them. We throw up on them.
But like when someone's in bed with someone else, it's pretty self-explanatory of what's true.
But there's a lot of information in that. You see your significant other in bed with somebody else. They may be napping, or they may be, you know, knocking it out.
No napping with someone else. That's right. Intimate.
But how you feel about it, yeah, that's really intimate. Yeah. But how you feel, that's sometimes more intimate.
Yeah. Yeah,
because usually the dudes don't hang out for the nap. Yeah. They're gone out the door. But it's how you feel about that where the answers are. If it bothers you, there's obviously something emotional, you're connected, right? And if it doesn't bother you, that's even bigger. Like when the dudes see their girls doing something, they're like, well, whatever. That's just probably whatever.
That's a problem.
I'm like, if you don't feel something, that's a problem.
Yeah,
I'm not down. I can't watch my wife with some other dude and go, oh, they're just fooling around. It's not working for me.
They're just drunk and having fun.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Whoa.
So I keep telling them, just look for the answers. They're there. It's not fun, but, you know, that's what you're here for.
I would not. I could never.
Me neither.
Ever do the show.
No. It's really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to be in a place where I was just looking to, couldn't break up, but needed a way to do it.
That's like you're like, why don't you try this?
Now that is really smart.
Telling, yeah.
That's smart because people ask all the time, why would anybody do this? And I don't have a good answer for that. But the same thing, I did the show Moment of Truth, right, which was a lie detector show. And people were asking, why do people come on and say those intimate secrets in front of millions of people? And I'm like, for some people, to sit down with a person you care about and be honest and authentic, that's scary. But when you commit to the show, now you've got an out. Well, the show forced it, and it jumps you off the cliff.
Yeah.
Now there's no turning back, and it forces you to be honest and say the thing you were afraid to say at home. And that's not particularly the healthiest way to do it, but I think that's why some people do it. It helps them face it.
They can't admit it on their own that they want out. So they're like, I know what to do.
I'll just go and fool around with other people, and then she'll break up with me, and it's all good.
Yeah. Eventually. I'll live in Hawaii for a month, right? It's a full month?
Yeah, it feels like 3 years, but it's a full month.
Yeah, it must suck just being in Maui for a month.
Well, for me, people say, you know, it must be hell there. I'm like, it is for them, but it's fabulous for me.
Yeah,
we have a great time. I want to go back now.
Yeah, when do you start the next season?
Well, I don't know yet.
Okay.
We got to wait for a pickup, but it's looking pretty good and probably...
I'll pick it up. Yeah. I'll pick it up. Yeah. I'll do what I have to do.
Yeah.
I may just privately do it as a service, you know, and just show up and let it be like a Tony Robbins weekend or something.
Yeah.
I think probably, you know, March or April, we'll probably go back again. I really don't care, man. It's the same thing I'm saying to you. I'm just trying to... I've been in the business so long, this is where we started. The days of worrying about the next gig or when we're doing it, I don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just right here, right now with these two beautiful girls talking about love. That's good for today.
It's a great place to be in the now.
It ain't bad. It ain't bad. Yeah.
I'm bad at doing it. Well, so bad.
It's not our nature as humans.
I know.
No.
No, we like want to know the answers to everything and how it's all going to play out. And
it never plays out the way we think it's going to play out. Plays out in ways that are impossible.
And are better. That's the thing.
Yeah, and are better. Yeah. And here's an example. I did Temptation Island 20 years ago. Like, out of my mind. Gone. Years. I'm a different person now. And then I got all, they were looking at me to do another show, which was all about DIY and cooking and, crafting and all this stuff I kind of dig. And I like doing that. I'm like, oh, well, this is God answering my prayer. Uh-huh. This is perfect. And then I didn't get that show. I'm like, what? And then within hours of not getting the show, they're like, hey, they're bringing back Temptation Island. I'm like, but I don't even want that one. I want to make jam,
right,
Right. This is, I'm a different dude now. But it turns out that show I thought I was going to do is not my vibe at all, actually.
Yeah.
And this show, even though it appears to be this crazy, salacious thing, is actually a forum for me to kind of break it down like we're breaking it down.
Yeah.
And so I'm really happy. And so now that's another lesson for me is like, I'm not driving this bus. Mm-hmm. I'm on it, but I'm not driving the bus.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So I have to remind myself that literally daily.
You could text me. I'm here for you.
That's actually good. I'm going to get your number because all my friends are probably exhausted by me.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
No. With the eye roll.
She's like, no.
your number. No. I'm just kidding.
Security.
No, yeah. I think it's just like a constant reminder because we're always so in our heads about everything, like you said. And I think yours specifically is dating and love. And it's like, you go on dates with guys or you have these moments and you go back to that same thing. Like, what is wrong with me? Why are things
not
working out?
Who do I need to be different?
Yes.
That will attract the thing I thought I wanted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you've ever met somebody who's in their skin, that's the way I describe it. Somebody who just doesn't care. Like, they know who they are and they're down, mm-hmm. right? There's a power about them that you can't figure out. You meet them all the time, like Ryan and other people that you meet that you can't figure out what is their power mm-hmm. that they have. It's because they've stopped that conversation. Mm-hmm. They found an authentic truth and they've accepted both the good and the bad in themselves. And mm-hmm. and that's really attractive.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because when you were saying like how Robbie wrote like a list of checkpoints or right. whatever. I mean, I think every single person does that.
For sure.
Like
sure.
when you're looking for someone. But it doesn't always, like you said, it's not always like what's on paper that checks out.
Yeah.
And I remember Tanya dating a guy and she was like, it didn't work out or whatever. And she's like, but he has everything I want. And I'm like, but your guy is not going to make you question his feelings for you. Like yeah. he's going to make you feel like validated and like safe. And like, you're not going to be like, but what am I doing? He's going to be like your biggest cheerleader and mm-hmm. everything you like, every part about you.
Yeah. It's really crazy because I feel like I have the best friends in my life, like truly, like,
so you figure that part out.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's interesting because I do feel like that is friendships or relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The most important relationship.
Totally. So it's like, I know that
sex clouds it all.
Yeah.
You women love bad guys because of the abandonment you feel from dads and other men in your life. So you love the idea of them loving you hard and leaving.
Oh.
It hurts your feelings, but that's a pattern you repeat.
See, what's interesting is I don't have that pattern.
All right.
Yeah.
But generally people do.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they'll be friends with like a gay best friend to get the intimacy and they'll have sex with the biker
yeah.
who is not intimate, but between the two of them, it's an aggregate one good person.
Yeah. yeah. Because I don't have unattached sex.
Yeah.
So there I have that. And then I have a really good relationship with like my dad and the men in my life. So I'm not really looking. All the guys I've dated are not bad boys.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
You're not a bad, you no. don't go for bad yeah, boys. Yeah,
no. Well, so I don't have that, but it's
friendship being the basis of love is not a bad thing.
Yes. Yeah, and I feel thing. Like I've figured it out so well in my friendships department that it will happen in my marriage.
Well, I could offer a thought.
Okay. I love a thought. Tanya, Give me a thought.
I come in here thinking we're just going to like chill and it gets deep instantly.
We don't chill
here. The thought is that in your friend, one thing to look at is in your friendship relationships, who do you be? And probably you're not self-aware. You can show up to your friends for brunch without your hair done, your makeup done, and you don't care.
Right.
Because they know you and they're not judging you and you don't really live in their judgment of you.
Right.
Right. And so that person who's completely accepting themselves and is not really worried about their friends defining who they are, has a healthy relationship with their friends. Your friendships are tight. They're there for you. That's your crew. They've got you. That's the same person you bring with a love relationship when you stop being self-aware and stop trying to be this thing, this facade that you think he's going to respond to. So the guy that loves you is going to love you with a zit, right? And more importantly, the guy that loves you is going to love you because you love you, and you don't care.
Right.
You don't care if he loves you. You're good. I mean, you care if he loves you, but he's not going to define who you are based on his hot or cold response to you.
Right.
And that's who you are with your friends. Your friends, you're like, they're my friends. I got nothing to prove with them. They're my people. Mm-hmm. You just need one more people that you get to see naked.
Mark Wahlberg, so good. Every time.
Every time I'm with you, this is twice, but it feels like 10. I go home and go, what did I say?
Where do you live?
I live Sherman Oaks. So
oh
this
my
is really
gosh,
close.
Why don't we hang?
Listen, I'm sitting by the phone waiting.
Okay.
If I reach out to you, I'm the creepy uncle. If you reach out to me, you're like my other daughter we can hang out with.
Okay, fair. Done.
Yeah, cool.
Okay. Yeah. Well, great. So thank you so much for coming in.
Hey,
we
thanks
really
for having
appreciate
me,
it.
You guys.
We love having you.
Temptation Island season 2.
Let me just tell you.
You're so cute.
Because we had a huge, like, I think I don't rave about TV shows a lot because I don't even have cable, so everything I watch is like limited. But
right.
I cannot say enough about the show. I hesitate to say it entertains me more than The Bachelor.
Well, be careful. Don't bite the hand that fed you.
I know. I love The Bachelor.
I do too.
However, it's great. I'm saying if you love The Bachelor, you will love Temptation Island.
And that's by the way, all of us on the show, we say that. You know, when we were on Tuesdays last season, we're like, Bachelor's on Monday, Temptation on Tuesday. And what's funny is now in the Twitter world, people are like baiting for a fight between Chris Harrison and me.
You should do it. Just
well,
like...
because I get tweets like, you're a shitty Walmart knockoff of Chris Harrison.
And rude.
And my response is, I love Walmart. And then Walmart responds back saying, we love you too. So I'm going to end up the spokesperson for Walmart thanks to Chris. So,
that's awesome.
But people are constantly, he isn't. He's the OG and Chris is that. And I'm like, dude, Chris is awesome. And I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
And we have different shows. And I said it in an interview that just came up. And I'm like, did I say that? And I'm like, well, that wasn't bad. I say, we're both captains of a ship. Okay. His is a luxury cruise liner in the Mediterranean. Mine is a cargo ship in the Strait of Hormuz. Both of them are ships, and both of them need to be captained, and both can get food poisoning, but mine may have pirates. So that's the difference between our two ships. That might be a little heady, but look better in paper.
Well, I love it. And if you, like I said, I'm sad I have to wait week by week, but if you haven't watched the first season, go watch the first season and start the second season. You will love it.
Well, catch up by watching episode 1, which is online. You can find that on YouTube and Facebook and USANetwork.com and Hulu. And then Thursdays at 10.
Great.
Yeah, on USA Network.
Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you.
Here. Thanks, we you love you. I think it's safe to say we all love Lola.
I love Lola because... So my sister like is a big person on putting no chemicals in your body. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. Like she does like the pans that aren't non-stick. She's like, it's too chemicals.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have time to break out the certain scrub that you can only scrub that pan with. I don't have time to like do my research.
There's just no time.
There's no time to find things that don't have chemicals in them.
Well, Lola makes that easy.
I love Lola.
So Lola is a female-founded company. They offer a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, all-natural cleansing wipes. The founders, Jordana and Alexandra, started their company with a simple and seemingly obvious idea that women should not have to compromise when it comes to feminine care.
I love the cleansing wipes. I love them. No, they're so nice. Also, it's going to be a little TMI. Sorry, Mark. But like, it gets dirty down there. You just got to have something that's like clean, no chemicals. You feel comfortable.
Makes you feel
wipe
fresh.
Down there. Yeah.
I think the thing is we do care so much about what we eat and how clean products are. I could be better about that. But I mean, when it comes to what we put into our body, like, you know, down there, I think it's so important that it doesn't have the chemicals that a lot of the other major brands have.
I know why you actually like it, though.
Tell me.
Because you don't have to leave your house to get it.
I was going to say, speaking of not having time, they solve that problem. Mm-hmm. You can't even use that excuse with Lola because they ship directly to your door.
Yeah, you don't even have to Postmates it.
Which just... I do that too. I've had to do
so
that.
So you're saving money, not putting chemicals in your body, and you get to pick what sizes you want, what you want. Because not everybody likes to put tampons in.
No. And I need the big ones, and sometimes I need the light ones.
It really depends.
And it's so nice because you can get a mix and match of what you need from Lola when the time comes.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've scrambled around the house being like, I have to have a tampon in here somewhere.
Right. No, and there's nothing worse than having that random box of light when you need the heavy. Exactly. But then there's nothing worse when you only have a heavy and you're at the end of it. Yeah. And you're like, I don't want to put a heavy one in.
Hurts to think about it. Well, Lola makes the time of the month just a little, actually, I don't even want to say a little bit easier. They make it a lot easier. Their subscription box is fully customizable. You can choose a mix of products. You can choose a mix of absorbency. You can choose the number of boxes and frequency of delivery. So you could literally be like, I want 3 boxes because I know I'm going to have a period for 3 months. Like, you could do it.
Unfortunately, it is every single month.
Mine does not skip like other people's.
Screw, no offense, but screw everyone that has that like, oh, I don't really get it.
I didn't have my period last month. Yeah. I'm like, well, good for you.
It's like my only motive of like maybe getting pregnant someday. But then I hear that you can still have it when you're pregnant.
Yeah. Don't get pregnant so to not have a period. It's bad advice.
True.
Lola's, they're also super flexible. So with the subscription, you can change, skip, or cancel at any time. And for 30% off your first month subscription, visit mylola.com and enter Becca30 when you subscribe. That's mylola.com and enter Becca30 for 30% off your first month's subscription. Mylola.com and enter Becca30. Wow, a new harmony. I would just like to say, I don't think anyone enjoys warm alcohol. I think it's safe to say everyone feels the same about that.
Did you know what I just discovered?
What?
You can order shots of alcohol that are cold.
Yeah, chill shot.
It is life-changing. Actually, Becca, our mutual friend, Brittany, introduced it to me. I can now take shots. I just realized alcohol needs to be cold.
It has to be.
And it is night and day.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough for me regardless when it comes to shots.
But when it is cold,
chilled,
and kept cold all day, any alcohol, you could drink it anytime.
I mean, anything. I don't drink coffee hot. I definitely don't drink Dr. Pepper hot. I don't drink anything warm. So Brewmate is very important to me. So the founder, Dylan, was also not a fan of warm alcohol. And that's why he made it Brewmate's mission to shake up the beverage industry so that people can keep their drinks cold. Like, nothing worse than going to the beach or going outside and needing something refreshing and it's just hot.
When you have that like warm water bottle in your car, but there's no water around you, so you just have to reach over to the seat and you drink it, and it's actually, you put a tea bag in it and you'd be having a hot cup of tea.
So sick. Well, on top of being functional, Brewmate is stylish. It's designed to keep your favorite beverage the perfect temperature. I have been in so many situations where I have to drink a warm beverage and I'm just, I hate it. Mm. I like genuinely, it ruins my moment.
It's not worth it. That's what it feels like. It's just not worth it to drink it.
Might as well just be parched.
Yeah. My family, actually, we have the wood wine. It's like a wood finish wine cellar.
Beautiful.
And we take it on our boat, like our little like Duffy boat thing, you know, because then it's like you don't want to bring a bottle that could break because you're gonna be on the water. And I like it because I actually got it as a gift from my dad. And it has so many different styles because there's like purple glittery wine cellars, and then there's one with like a wood finish, and I feel like the wood finish would probably be the best for my dad, you know.
Classy.
And then they have the little matching wine cups with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it just slides right in.
Yeah, I felt like an influencer because my dad was just like, we were all like matching.
You are an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we can all agree it's probably the best solution for the warm beverage dilemma that we've all had at some point. So do not settle for warm alcohol or any beverage that you want to drink cold.
You deserve better.
You all deserve better. So chill out with your favorite drinks all day long, all night long with Brewmate. Visit brewmate.com and add code Becca to get 15% off your first order. That's 15% off your first order when you go to brewmate.com and add code Becca. That's brewmate.com and use code Becca. That was gorgeous. I love Mark Wahlberg.
You guys are exchanging numbers and everything.
Tanya is getting in with the fam.
Well, I also think his wife is very, like, do you remember she gave me a list of all those books when we were in Hawaii? Mm-hmm. She's very, she loves Oprah. She loves Tony Robbins. She's very much mm-hmm. like that. So I just kind of like his vibe and his family.
Does she know Devon Franklin?
I told her to read about Devon Franklin. Yeah, see, it's a little tit for tat.
Yes, indeed.
Giver, just giving.
Yeah.
We haven't had a senior butterfly update in a while.
Yeah. Read between the lines on
that
one.
Okay, great. Here are your emails.
Quick. It was quick. The update.
This is from Anonymous. I work as a manager for a wedding venue. My job only has two employees, me and my boss. My boss is a total control freak and cannot stand when I stand up for myself. When I do, she pulls in the reins and nitpicks everything I've done wrong. I've seen her do some questionable stuff at work. But I can't rat on somebody else. Plus, the owner and her are like father and daughter and have been for years. If I want to complain about her, he would confront her, but then she would know it came from me. Do I suck it up and stick it out, or do I fight for myself and possibly lose my job over this? I'm so conflicted.
This is my advice. If you stick up for yourself and fight for yourself and lose your job, then you were not supposed to be there, because you don't want to be in a place where you can't stand up for yourself and have your own opinion without it resulting in you being fired or let go. Like, you should be able to stand up for yourself in a polite and respectful way without it ending your job.
I have opposite advice. And I know. It can be the tiebreaker.
Oh, wow.
It's not quite opposite, but I just think do your job and get out. This might not be
get
your
out
for, yeah. Of the no, job, of I work? Just mean like go in, do your work. You don't need to rat on people. Mind your own business. Stay your own course. This might not be your job forever. Like, maybe look elsewhere. But I don't know. I'm not team speak up.
I agree with Tanya. We all have dealt with crappy bosses our whole life. Everybody has. Some of us currently do. It happens. Deal with it. You'll be stronger for it. You'll appreciate better bosses in the future. Like, it's something, it's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
And I know it sucks right now.
I think she should be able to stand up for herself, though. I'm not saying rat her out and tell on her, like to the other person, but I think to her, she should be able to stand up for and be as like strong as this lady, or is it a man? Do we know?
I think they're both females. Yeah.
She should be able to be as strong as she is and feel like she can stand up for herself. I don't think she needs to tattletale or rat, because it's not going to go anywhere good, but I think she should be able to stand up for herself.
I think whatever you got to do to keep that paycheck coming in until you can find something else.
Maybe look for another job. But
yeah, I'd say look for another job.
But don't rock the boat until you get it.
Yeah.
Code Blue from, I believe it's Devon. It's Devan, and it's a woman.
Cute.
My brother's best friend and I have always had a thing for each other. We've known each other our whole lives. The chemistry is unlike anything I've ever felt. I went to college. I was gone for 6 years, so there was minimal interaction. But now my job's back. We live close to each other. I've been home almost a year now. We talk throughout every day. He's sweet and attentive and cute and taken. He has a girlfriend. They have a rocky relationship. He even tells me about their problems. He says he knows he needs to leave her, but that hasn't ended the relationship. In my heart, I truly feel he's the one I'm going to end up with. I know my worth, but being strung along is really starting to hurt me. What should I do? Wait for him to come to his senses and be with me, or try to move on? I'm 26.
Gotta move on.
Wait, well, hold on.
He's in a relationship. If he wants to be with her, he can break up and pursue her. But until then, she don't need to wait for him. I would never give you the advice to wait for someone who is in a relationship.
This is true. That detail escaped me. The sans sleep.
Let's keep in mind that in my opinion, and this is open for debate, he's cheating on his girlfriend.
Emotionally.
Yes.
Okay. I agree.
If I were telling somebody about all the about anything problems I'm having with my wife, that is not that's crossing a line. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. Telling someone I know I really need to leave my wife, that's crossing a line. And all the chatting and everything you're doing all day long, I'm sure she doesn't know about that. That doesn't say a lot for him. Mm-mm. And that's a red flag for your future relationship with him. Because he might
the one,
he might not mind telling other people about your problems or complaining about you to other women. Mm-hmm. So that's a flag.
It is a flag.
It's not a deal breaker, but it's a flag.
It's a flag.
You know what? Sometimes chemistry is just meant for the books.
Like chemistry books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like school. Because she's saying the chemistry isn't like anything she's ever felt. Sometimes you want physics, you know?
Oh my God.
Sometimes you need a little physics and science in there too, and not just the chemistry. And I feel like I agree. I'd almost be like, this guy is not your dude. So definitely don't wait.
Also, chemistry can often be mistaken because it's lust.
Lust
is mistaken for chemistry. And once that lust is satisfied, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Lust is the dog. We don't want the dog. We want the man. The man is the lover.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
I love Tanya on No Sleep. It's so fun.
It makes, there's like my brain, I'm like, am I on drugs right now?
No, what? It makes perfect sense. The man and the dog. The dog likes lust. The man is love.
But I think it's a mutual lust. I'm not saying it's just from his
side.
Correct. I think it might be mutual. And once you satisfy that curiosity, this might not be what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. I think like we can put people up on a pedestal.
And also, feelings and emotions are heightened when you can't be with someone. If you have a connection with them and, like, let's say he was single, you might be like, oh, whatever. Like, you might not have that.
Forbidden fruit theory.
Yeah, forbidden fruit.
My advice, you're single, you move on, you're dating other people, you're looking elsewhere. If this is meant to be, it will happen.
Mm.
But you got to get your eggs out of that basket.
You know, I want to be one of those people that can put different eggs in different baskets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
How do I do that?
When a guy presents his basket, you immediately dump all your eggs in.
12 of them. Here's 12 and then the 13th for good measure.
And then you lay one extra to put
in
there.
And then I lay an extra in there just so he knows that he's got all my eggs in that basket.
And then a few months later, it's crushed eggs in a basket.
Yeah, it's just here's some scrambled eggs for breakfast. I hope you enjoy it. You're lovely. Would you like some sriracha sauce for those?
So sad.
Tired Tanya makes everyone else feel
tired.
Like they're on drugs.
Yeah. I'm like, am I super tired too? I don't know.
Are you? Am I not making sense? Am I making sense?
It's just, you know, when you start going on your like, it's Tanya-isms and it's just like you're. It's like trying to follow something that's going really fast.
And not really coming back around to the
front. Yeah, it's like in an octagon and squiggles. Yeah.
Yeah, so to get back to Devin, I guess we kind of are just telling her to get rid of this loser.
Not so much.
I think she just needs to live her life and not wait around for him to maybe end his relationship. And I would stop talking to him because it's not fair to the other girl.
Yes.
And it's not fair to you.
But sisterhood, when he starts complaining about her again, you got to say, this isn't fair to her. I wouldn't like this if I were her.
Yeah, exactly. Put him in his place.
Yes.
Yeah.
He needs it.
I feel better from that.
From what?
Maybe on our next podcast, we can find out how to not put all your eggs into one basket.
That's good.
That is a thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thought.
You just don't.
But how do you...
That's easier for you though, Becca.
I just wanted that reaction.
Do you keep some eggs to yourself or do you put eggs in other people? You put some eggs in other people's baskets and then you keep some for yourself?
I keep eggs to myself. I put a few eggs in some baskets. If I like the person, I put maybe like 3 eggs in their basket. But if they're not putting at least matching the eggs in the basket, then I'm putting eggs in other baskets.
That's interesting.
I need the eggs to be equal in the basket.
We've taken this metaphor way too far, but that's a really good thing. So you put a couple in, you make sure you get a couple in return. And you keep building up the baskets as long as they're both even on the scale.
Because like, why are you needing to put 13 eggs in the basket? There's no room for his eggs.
I know. Ooh. There's no room for his own eggs.
That's good. That's deep, Becca.
It is so deep. It's so deep. But that's how I am. Like, I put all my eggs in your basket, too. In this friendship, my eggs are in your basket. 13 of them.
How
no,
many
I have eggs in there. I have
you
eggs
got a
in
few
the basket.
You got a
there's
few
room.
Eggs
there's enough room for the eggs in my
for
eggs.
Sure, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
It's
I
a
have
big
some
basket.
Of your eggs. I have some of your eggs as well.
Huh. Interesting.
But I would like to explore this, actually. Because I do think Tanya 3.0.
Here we are. Here we are. Here she is.
Needs some reallocating of the eggs. And where to put them, where to shift them, how to hold them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Next week, we're going to book a poultry farmer. And
yeah, I was going to say, who do we get for that?
Yeah, I don't.
And do you know who else would be kind of good is Robert?
Doesn't we've tried to get Robert, yeah.
He would probably give some good brotherly advice.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that.
Let's
try and get him to the lobster.
Tried, but
I'll try and get him
so
to the
so far,
lobster.
That's not going so well, but all right,
try again.
I also wanted to let you know, I did Nick Vile's podcast this morning.
Yeah.
And his producer was like, aren't you, you're a nurse, right? And I was like, yes. What? I was like so confused. I was like, what? And she was like, because like your podcast is called Scrubbing In and you have scrubs on. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, Tanya is going to be thrilled to know that you think we're nurses on top of just everything
that is,
else.
That is some good news right there. That made me smile real big. Yeah. You know what nurses probably don't do? Put all their eggs in a basket.
Oh my God.
They probably have some frozen too.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole
that's a different. Yeah.
We got to go.
I really do got to go. Oh my gosh.
Time of death? 12:51.